Hello, listeners. Welcome to the Songcraft podcast, where great musicians and songwriters share their inspiration and tips for making great music. I'm Joe Oppenheimer, a seasoned songwriting mentor dedicated to helping musicians to master the art of songwriting. So today I've got John Sneddon with me. He's a New Zealand-born musician who studied bass guitar at Christchurch Jazz School and has gone on to learn the art of beatmaking, using finger drumming and Ableton Live to create a unique sound and an amazing live show. He's also built an epic school for beatmakers here in Melbourne, with many of his students now taking to the stage and killing it in the local scene. And all the while, he's been collaborating with amazing musicians, playing festivals and working overtime on a multitude of projects. So welcome, John.
Greetings, Mr. Joe.
Thanks so much for joining me on the podcast.
Thanks so much for having me aboard, man.
Oh, dude. So, you know, the way that you structure your creativity and your teaching, it reminds me of an observation that I've had about the role and the expectations of self-made musicians and the way it's changed over the years. So just, for example, in the past, it was enough to ask of a musician that they were not just a performer, but also a songwriter. But then in the 60s, something changed and musicians started doing all that as well as playing a role in the studio, engineering and producing records on top of everything. And so the singer, songwriter, producer was born. But these days, even that's not enough. And you need to be all of the above and an entrepreneur as well. And well, to me, that sounds just like you. So what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, in a sense, definitely, like, if you want to be a professional musician, like, you know, like, make a living from it and that, yeah, these days, I guess it's, there's definitely an element of entrepreneurial activity that's sort of required in it, isn't there, you know? I mean, even for a while now, I remember when I was at jazz school, a lot of my tutors talking about, you know, to make a living, they had to do all the things. They had to be a teacher, be a performer, be doing session recordings every now and then, to put it all together, you know? So sort of a multifaceted thing.
It's just amazing how many skills go into being a musician these days.
Yeah. Yeah, there's more things you can do these days, which is cool. And because it's not like your average, like, job, you've got to find your own way with it and sort of piece it all together from lots of different places, I guess.
Do you ever wish that it was simpler and, you know, instead of having to learn how to market yourself and run a small business, all you had to do was get on stage and just play the drums?
Part of me might, but I think, no, I'm actually pretty happy that it's a challenge.
Yeah.
Because it makes me work. It makes me work harder, you know? If I have to really, really do it, then I'm going to do it.
So. Well, that's something you do well. You do work hard, and I can see that. I think everyone can see that, and you're very, you know, vocal posting on Facebook regularly and sharing what you do. It's fantastic. Very inspiring.
Yeah. Cheers, man.
So I'd just like to ask you a few questions about, like, what inspires you and perhaps, like, what your dreams are for your music.
Well, music itself inspires me a lot and always has. Music's really been a massively transformational force in my life. You know, there's the classic cliche of, like, you know, being an angsty teenager, you know, essentially having your life saved by music sort of deal, which, you know, really literally happened to me.
Really?
Literally, yeah. Literally happened to me. So,
wow.
I really transformed my brain a lot as a teenager through the power of music, through the uplifting energy that I was provided by what I was listening to at the time, which was like a lot of heavy metal at the time, you know,
right?
Like a lot of new metal back in the day.
Wow.
So it's a spark that can create transformation in people and happen to me. And that's what excites me and inspires me about doing it. And so I really want to, and I've always wanted to since back then, I've wanted to be part of that and pass that force on to other people.
Mm.
And so that happens obviously in performance situations. Nowadays I get to do it in teaching situations as well. And I get to experience people these days actually reflecting that straight back at me, telling me that their life has actually been transformed by what they've learned through working together. So that's quite fulfilling and quite exciting to be at a place to really be feeling that taking place.
Right. Well, actually, last Friday night, I went to see Astra play in Coburg.
Yeah.
And, I mean, there's a great example. I used to live with Astra, and she was, you know, just really wanted to get out there and play music, and she did your course, and then she was rocking it last Friday. It was amazing.
Yeah, she's fantastic.
Yeah,
super
really
cool to see that happening.
Dude. So how do you go about manifesting your dreams?
Well, through action, really. through visualizing a lot. Like, I sort of see a lot of this stuff taking place, and I sort of did before a lot of it all happened, I guess. So trusting those visions and, like, sort of believing in the fact that it's possible and just, like, you know, manifesting it by taking lots of action, but always one step at a time. Just, you know, lots of little things every day. The everyday bit's the most important thing. The everyday sort of, you know, ticking off some boxes of the list. The list is infinite, you know, but you can't hope to achieve the whole thing all at once, of course. But just constant movement, just constant sort of like thinking about it, dreaming about it, planning it, writing lists.
So you're quite organized.
I'm a massive list maker. I generally have like a few different levels of lists going on. So like the macro and the micro and the daily and the weekly or whatever. Calendaring and scheduling is super important. Without that, I would be a mess.
Does it ever feel like too much?
No, I actually thrive off it, to be honest. And my brain became this way through my studies at jazz school.
Okay.
By the massive, massive workload that was in place there to get done. So that the constant moving between class to class to class, to rehearsal, to working on this project, to that one, to go to get this assignment in, to like, it was really like a sort of 8 to 12 hour experience almost every day for years there of being scheduled with it. And before that, I was, to be honest, before doing jazz school, I was pretty hopeless. Like, I didn't have the ability to do that stuff at all. So it really shaped my brain and my consciousness being in that sort of flow of having to get stuff done every day constantly.
Still reaping the benefits.
Yeah. And nowadays, I guess I've realized that and recognized that was super beneficial for me back in the day. So I've sort of shaped my life again like that, keep myself active, keep myself going. Yeah.
That's great. So tell us a bit about your creative process. Like, how do you go about creating new material?
Well, it's different every time, you know? Like, I mean, how to write a song. I mean, you know this, you can write it from any part, you know? Any piece of music can be extrapolated and expanded into a landscape, you know? Any one little thing, even if it's just like a kick and a snare in rhythm. Music to me is a massive interacting dance of multiple components all working together. And so as soon as you've got one of those components happening, the way I sort of see music is that it's like an invitation to dance.
Mm.
Any one little part is reaching out and inviting you to interact with it.
Wow.
So it's not necessarily one place to start, but as long as you do have something happening, you can create something else and extrapolate and
fill in the blanks.
Yeah, move things forward and elaborate on any given piece of music. So, because I studied jazz and studied improvisational music, that's where it starts. You know, like I'm sitting down and I'll have like an instrument in my hand, or I'm on Ableton Live working with, you know, maybe I've got a keys patch running through a MIDI controller, and I'm just going to play something. I'm just going to play some sound. I'm going to play a beat. I'm going to play a chord progression. And then it's like, okay, what does that call me to interact with it? How does that call me to interact with it in some way? And obviously with the live finger drumming stuff, that's another means of creation as well, and that's all improv too. So a lot of my actually song ideas come from those improvs.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of my song ideas come from a recording of those improvs, and it'll catch a nice little beautiful moment, and then I watch it later and go back and go, oh, that's actually really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And that sometimes, becomes the main theme of a song.
Mm.
Catch those little magical moments when you're improvising, and that stuff doesn't often come out unless you're in front of a crowd, for example, you know, or doing it in like a nice setting where that music's being received. And in those moments there's nuggets of gold in there. So
right, there's this idea in photography that, you know, you might have to take 10 photographs to get one good one.
Yeah.
Does that resonate with you in music making?
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. The music is a massively iterative process for me as well. So with the idea generation process, it's very much like that. There'll be like a handful of ideas, and it's like curating it back to the good stuff. Mm. Like we were speaking a minute ago about this, about panning for gold.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's totally like that. And I speak about that to my students too. You know, most of the stuff coming down the river is like water and bit of mud, there's some grit, sand and that. You know, it's all cool, it's all nice, it's a beautiful river. It's endless. That's the point, though, it's endless. So you can just keep going.
Right.
And the more you go and the more little things you record, and, you know, eventually there's going to be nuggets of gold in there. So, yeah, Yeah, I agree with that for sure.
Cool. And at some point, I guess, you've got to take all that stuff that you found and put it together. So when it comes to editing stage, what's important for you when you're finishing your work? And have you got any tips for people who are sort of getting started out there?
Make decisions and move on.
Right. I like that.
Make decisions and move on. So, I mean, editing tips. I mean, there's a million things I could say there, really.
True.
But the main point is to do stuff and get stuff done and attempt to get through the resistance in its many forms, whether it's perfectionism or whatever. There's bottlenecks that can take place in that place. In my experience, anyway, for me, I experience bottlenecks in that situation. But
it's really interesting. It reminds me of the quote, I think it was Picasso, but then again, he gets attributed all these quotes, so who knows if he actually said it or not. But it was something along the lines of, a work of art is never finished, is simply abandoned.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
And at some point you say, that's enough.
Totally. That's right. And so true. And actually 2 or 3 weeks ago, I like reshared one of my live videos and it had a piece of writing on it very similar to that. That a piece of art is never finished. It's just like you put it down at some point. And actually, in a Five Rhythms dance one night, I heard a really cool quote which really stuck with me ever since. That a painting is never finished. You just stop in interesting places.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's definitely like that. I could keep working on any piece of music infinitely, but at some point you've got to just like put it down and let it be shared, because realistically, like, as a musician, you want to share music. You want to let it affect people. You want to like see what that does and experience that. And art is never really, in my opinion, art is never really truly art until it impacts the world. You know, art is something that actually impacts the world and creates some sort of change or effect on a person or people or group or society or whatever. You can sit in your room and make music or write books for an entire lifetime, and it's beautiful, and it is of course a form of art for yourself, but for me personally, what art is something that impacts the world. So there's really got to reach that point at some time. You've got to let it out of the box. You've got to let it be itself. Yeah, because it's a reciprocal process. Like, just like when you're performing in a band or whatever, it's one thing to be rehearsing in a room, but it really comes to life when you're actually out there on a stage showing it to people.
Yeah.
And the same I find with my improvised finger drumming stuff. Like, I can sit there and do it in my room and play it, but it's great. But it's nothing like what I'm doing in front of a crowd. It's my music is 100 times better and more fluent when I'm actually sharing it, and it's that reciprocal situation taking place. There was like this, you know, music's sort of like a live music, especially sort of like this energy transfer situation where the musician or the group, the band, is creating that sort of field of emotion and energy, sending it out towards the crowd, and they're picking it up and reflecting it right back. And it's a very reciprocal situation. One feeds onto the other, and I find that it's 100 times better when it's shared.
Yeah. So, and in terms of actually knowing when a song or a track is ready to be shared, reminds me of another saying, which is that good enough is better than perfect.
Yep, that's a great saying. Yeah, there's another one similar. I've listened to a bunch of books by Seth Godin recently.
Mm-hmm.
He's an amazing man. A lot of awesome knowledge in his brain.
Mm-hmm.
He says a similar thing. What was it? It was, done is the engine of more. Done is better than perfect.
Yeah.
And done is the engine of more.
More and more and more.
Yeah.
Because really, I mean, what is perfect? We're never going to get there. We're never going to fully be able to say, this is a perfect work of art and I would not change a single thing. I mean, you know, anyone in their right mind would look back at something they've made 5 years ago and thought, oh, I'd do that differently, I'd do that differently, I'd do that differently. But you didn't do that differently. You did that way 5 years ago, and that's beautiful. In fact, it's like a time capsule. It reflects, you know, your best efforts at that time.
Yeah, absolutely right. And if it was perfect, why would we continue doing it if it was perfect? That's another interesting thing to think about, right? Because art and, I mean, whatever it is, I write as well, and writing's the same for me as music. It's an exploratory process. It's an exploratory process into my own curiosity and my own excitement.
I like that.
You know? So if we were to release art that was perfect, then we'd nailed it, we'd achieved that like maximum potential sort of thing, what then would be the impetus to continue going to create more art, because the exploration's done at that point.
Wow, that's kind of cool.
Right?
I've nailed it. I've put myself into a work of art. I can now die content.
Yeah. So it's great that it's not perfect. It's great that it's not, because then you can keep going.
Yeah.
There's more to explore. There's more of your own potential to explore. There's more of your own ability. There's more skills to gain and gather. There's more research to be done. I say this kind of thing to my students a lot as well, especially when they're starting out, is to, be putting out music that's like, just however it is. Let it be crappy.
Yeah.
Let it be crappy. Let it be shitty. Just,
well, another side of that, you know, when good enough is better than perfect. I mean, it's amazing when you consider musicians who get really into studying music, you know, that can suddenly have very high standards of what they want for their own music. Mm. But the truth of it is that, and I've found this, I don't know if you agree, but I often find, especially listening to pop music on the radio and even just reflecting on music that I really like, it doesn't actually take that much to be good enough. Often it's actually quite simple elements, just put with a heartfelt, you know, thread that's pulling it together. And it actually resonates, you know?
Yeah.
As long as it's got that element of truth, it doesn't need to be, you know, like Mozart on the piano, or, you know, the most mind-blowing thing you've ever heard. Often if it's true and if it's heartfelt, then it will actually blow people away, or draw people in.
Yeah.
Is the other way.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, a lot of the time, simple music is the best.
Yeah.
And this is what you just said then about, you know, that happening to musicians who have studied in that. It definitely happens to me.
Mm.
I definitely have experienced that, like, wanting my music to be, like, massively complex and, like, therefore...
Up there with Tipper, you know.
And therefore it takes forever and it's kind of, like, never done. And then I listen to other people's music that's actually super simple and it's just like, oh, man, this works.
Yeah.
This is really great. So this is actually... This is one of my own battles, actually.
Right.
To like... not let my things get out of hand and actually sort of keep them a bit more contained.
It takes courage too to just say, you know what, it's good enough.
Yeah.
I'm just going to put it out there.
Yeah.
So when you're out there performing your material, what do you do to prepare before you're going to perform live?
Well, I do a lot of the work. So I sit down and depends what kind of live performance I do, because I do a few different types. I could do the electronic finger drumming stuff. I do DJ sets in Ableton Live. I do my live shows with Juman.
Mm-hmm.
So that's our
awesome,
our original produced music and
love it.
Her vocals. So that show has different elements, you know, live finger drumming stuff as well as the Ableton performance. So, I mean, I sit with the project and work out its kinks and work out whatever it's got going on. I listen and listen and listen and figure out what can be better. I find that before each show, I generally put like a lot of the previous week into it just to make sure it's as good as it can possibly be.
Nice.
And this is, that kind of thing is also a remnant of my studies having, you know, through jazz school, literally for 5 years there, because I did a diploma and a degree, so I studied at that school for a long time.
Mm.
And I started from, that was my first ever lesson in my entire life being at that school. So I started from being a beginner.
Yeah.
And then got thrown into having to get up on stage and perform and be graded every 10 weeks.
Right.
So every term with a new band of people learning new songs, every 10 weeks for 5 years there. So coming back to that, how that study shaped my brain and my mind, that's still a part of it.
Mm.
And so I sort of like understand that now, so I can use it to my advantage. I can use the fact that like I'm going to need to prepare lots for the show and put in a lot of work before taking it to the stage.
That's good.
So it's a big part of my process and it helps me accountable, you know, helps me get it done.
So. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
And have you got any particular ideas for like powerful ways to connect with an audience when you are performing live?
Have fun. Be yourself. Yeah. Like get into the music.
Yeah.
Don't worry about the music being good or bad. Just enjoy it for what you enjoy it for.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's honest. And you're also giving everyone else permission to just enjoy it.
Exactly. And so therefore you're giving them permission to get whatever they can get out of it.
Nice.
You know? If they're going to have like whatever experience, because music can, like I said before, music can provide amazing transformative experiences if you wanted to. It can also provide just amazing social experiences or whatever. There's lots of different things it can be a vehicle for and a tool for. So if you're being yourself, you let other people be themselves as well.
That's awesome, John. Well, just to finish up, I just want to know what would be your greatest tip for someone who is starting their music and songwriting journey?
Get lessons. I would say study, work with someone, work with people.
Right.
Whether it's at a school or with a tutor or a mentor or whatever, get some sort of guidance and assistance and regularly put yourself out there. Make it so you have to perform. Make it so you have to have that accountability where you're actually sort of putting that thing forward. Because otherwise it's too easy to stay in the box.
Right.
And without that sort of guidance and assistance, it's too easy to not know what to do and get a bit confused and like...
And do the same thing again and again and again, because you only know one or three tricks on your instrument.
Yeah, exactly right. You know, music is highly related to language, and we all learn language by being exposed to it from other people, from our parents, from school, from siblings, whatever. We don't experience language in a vacuum, just like we don't experience music in a vacuum. It's always passed on from one person to another.
Nice.
And nowadays we've got the internet to learn from, but traditionally, obviously, it's been from person to person in the same room. And there's a massive power in that where you can actually get directly the access to another person's mind who's already walked that pathway. So it's super important, I believe, to have that kind of in-person mentorship to not only learn the skills and techniques, but to also have a support network or person there to lift you up emotionally and mentally and actually help you go through it, you know? Like, we're not alone in this world. We've got to work together and stuff, you know? We all need, like, cheerleaders behind us, get us forward. So, yeah.
That's fantastic. I love that. I love that. You hear that, kids? Go and get lessons. and it's just great to be part of a group, a scene where people are, you know, supporting each other and keeping each other at the top of their game. And
yeah, absolutely.
Getting out there and doing gigs. Well, that's awesome. Thank you so much for your time, John. You can find out more about John's projects at www.snedmusic.com. And it's really exciting. He was just showing me a video, a really high quality, awesome live improvised video of him playing music, which he's going to release soon. And there's another 9 coming over the next 10 weeks.
Yeah, 10 in 10 weeks at the moment.
Dude, set yourself high bar. I love it. And it's just awesome, mate. I just see the biggest, brightest future for you and your work ethic and your music. So all the best with everything that you're doing.
Cheers, bro.
No worries. Thank you so much for your time. I'll be back with more Songcraft podcasts. So until then, keep writing.
See you, everybody.